I also want to welcome Adam to preach the word this morning. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Mike.
Or Mr. Dunt, as some of you folks know. And for just those folks that don't know you at all, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, like as a vocation, but also a little bit about your family. Is that all right? Just because
sure.
It's only, you know, there might be some people who don't know.
Yeah. Before I do, can I just say thank you to the band? That was amazing. That was a beautiful rendition of Open Spaces. You sang like an angel. And how good was the violin too? That was really, like, that song would be so hard to sing. And I'll talk a little bit to you about my singing soon. But yeah, that was fantastic. So as Mike alluded to, some people here do know me as Mr. Dunt. So my name is Adam Dunt. I am the director of the middle school here at King's Baptist Grammar School. I am a teacher. I've been teaching. This is my 20th year of teaching, which is quite amazing. And teaching is the most rewarding job in the world. I absolutely love it. I could talk to you about for an hour about teaching and why I love teaching, but I'll leave that. So I'm a director, I'm a teacher, I am a husband. I've been married to my lovely wife for almost 20 years, and my lovely wife, I now need to call her Dr. Dunt. So yeah, what's up, Doc? I am a father. I have a daughter who's almost 15, beautiful Ruby, who looks very much like her mum, so I often have to do a double take. And has my son gone? No, he's there. And Cruz is 12 with his mates at the back. I've got a clip for you and your mates very soon, Cruz, all right? I am a son, so I have my mum and dad here. I am a brother and I am a mate. I'm lots of things, but most importantly, I'm a child of God, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, being a child of God. And my call to whatever role that I've just talked about, my call to bear His image, to bear Jesus' image in all of those roles and in everything I do. It's taken me a long time in my life to realize that is my calling and how important that is, but I'm getting there. I'm slowly being transformed. So my first clip, if our PowerPoint, there it is a transformed life. So we're going to be talking about transformation today. But to get things started, I want to tell you a story. I've got a little video to go before. Well, the video is not on there. So we've got a little video. And after I tell this story, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave the story for quite a while and tell you another story and then come back to that story later. So it's just a hook. It's just going to leave you hanging. You can think, what has this got to do with anything that Adam's talking about? All right. So, play it.
Mine in a way. I don't know what to mine or mine this anyway. In this Minecraft day, so beautiful, further down. What's that I found? Mine diamonds. Mine diamonds. I'll mine them. So I've got two.
Okay, put us out of our misery. Thank you. There's obviously no crystal in the room because it would have been cracking for sure. Now, if I'd tried to sing Open Spaces or Aha's Take On Me, if you recognise, that's pretty much what it would have sounded like. And so that's the story that I want to actually start off by telling you. So we talked about my mum and dad before. So my mum, one of her love, I've grown up feeling extremely loved. I'm not going to look over here because if I do, I might get a bit emotional. I've grown up feeling extremely loved. And one of my mum's love languages is words of affirmation. So she's always encouraged me with words, like just nonstop. which has probably made me have a bit of a inflated sense of like how good I am at things, and also physical touch. So I've been smothered in hugs and kisses. I've been very, very lucky. My dad is a gifts of service man, and he's a quality time man. And the way I loved spending time with my dad was to play sport. So it needed to, you know, involve a ball. All right. So dad was my superhero. I got to spend all of this time with him growing up with a ball. So I thought I was a fantastic soccer player, and I was a pretty good soccer player. I thought I was an amazing cricketer, and I was a pretty good cricketer too. So in my mind, I was either going to be, you know, playing for Australia in the Ashes, defeating England, who my dad supported, so that would have been good, or probably play for Man United, or, you know, probably maybe just be a model or an actor, or possibly the next Michael Jackson. So sure, like, I can sing. That kid too probably thought he could sing. I don't know if his world has come crashing down. That 30 million views on YouTube that has had. Right? I just want to tell you about a time when my world came crashing down, and I actually realised that, Adam, one of your gifts is not singing. So I thought I was a singer, right? And back in Tea Tree Gully Baptist Church, I remember one day the music teacher, because I was at Tea Tree Gully Christian School, and she got me by myself and next to the piano. So she was here on the piano, I was on the stool next to her, and she would, you know, play a note and I would have to do something, you know, a bit of a, ah. And I thought, she has noticed. She knows there's talent here, and she is, you know, mustering the talent and going to turn it into something amazing. She'll take the credit, but that's okay. I'll, you know, be in the spotlight. So we then had a school choir, right? And these days, like, maybe the cool kids don't necessarily go out for the choir, but at Tea Tree Gully Christian School, everyone wanted to be in the choir, like everyone. And you had to audition for the choir, okay? So you had to go again, get on the piano, sing along. So I went, I just belted it out. I was like, I'm all over this choir. I am in this choir. I'll probably be right up the front, you know, right next to the microphone. Everyone will be behind me. And then we found out who was in the choir. And like literally, I'm sure I'm not exaggerating. You know how sometimes you grow up and you exaggerate things? I'm sure I'm not. But everyone in our school, well, definitely everyone in the class was in the choir except me. It's just let me be in it. Like, just put me up the back. Maybe not right where I thought I was going to be, just right up in the back. Everyone. So Mr. Smedley, for those of you who know Mark Smedley, he was my teacher in year 5, year 6 and year 7. And everyone would go to choir practice. Poor Mr. Smedley, he'd have me in the class. He couldn't do his work. So we played battleships. We played battleships, and one of my mates, who really was a good singer, he found out about this and he quit the choir so he could play battleships too. But yeah, it was earth-shattering. It's like, what? There's something I'm not good at. I can't sing. Like, what? What do you mean I can't sing? And like, I can even remember we'd do things, and you know, it would be the whole class involved, and the music teacher would actually ask, because I'd be sort of trying to squeeze into the front. You know, look at me. And that she'd be like, can you please, Adam, can you just go to the back a little bit? It's like, oh. There was one time I did get to be on stage with the microphone, but I had to mime. Everyone was miming, I'm sure, I think. I had a pink tie on, I don't know if you remember that, and a bit of a suit. Yeah, looking the goods. So what that... I tell it now, you know, like as a bit of a joke, but that was actually pretty destroying. And what it actually meant was in church, or just with friends and music, because I loved music. I still love music. Today is one of my favourite days of the year because it is the hottest 100. I get to listen to Triple J all day and, you know, count down from 100 to 1. I love music. I love going to bands, but I just can't sing or play anything. But what it did was when people would be singing at church, I could not engage in worship at all. All right, I just couldn't. I could not engage in music, in worship. I would actually mime, so I'd pretend that I was singing and nothing would come out. My wife would say, just sing. And I was like, I am. You're not. I can't hear you. I am. I was a mimer for a long, 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 long time. Okay, I could not engage in worship. Now, I've just thrown that one out there, that story, and it's just dangling in the water. I'm leaving it. I'll come back to it later, I promise. Another story, and can have a look at that. All right. The big red button. Another story. So my Superman one day, I was probably about 13, he came to me and he said, now, Adam, I'm going to show you something. If you promise me, you're never going to do it. I was like, it's like, sure, Dad. No, I'll do it. And he's like, okay, you promise? So I'm only showing you this for one reason, just so that you don't do it. Yes, no, I'm not going to do it. So, my dad, and I'm going to use general terms here because I'm worried if I actually say the specific terms, there might be some people maybe even in the back row who'll go and do this today and it could end up in some bad consequences, okay? So I'm just going to say maybe call them substances. So we were in the back shed and a substance came out and got put on a paver. So, you know, this is blah. Substance number one. And whatever you do, you never mix substance number one with substance number two. Don't mix these two things together. Okay, Dad. What happens if you do, Dad? This is why you never do it. Stand back, son. There was fire. There was smoke. The whole garden shed lit up. And I was like, wow, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life. I'm never going to do that. So one week later, my mum and dad were not at home. I was at home and I had a friend over. I was like, hey, mate, got something to show you. And I went and did the experiment. The experiment worked a charm. My mate thought that I was absolutely amazing and word soon got around this amazing experiment that I could do in my shed. So 2 weeks later, I had a mate and another mate. Oh, they'd been waiting for this. All right, mum and dad were out. And, you know, just a little bit more of substance number one got put down, a little bit more of substance number two, and wow, what an effect that had. And this kept going on for a little while until we went out of the garden shed because I was worried that I was going to burn the garden shed down. And we went outside, you know, so this is maybe a month later. And this time there was like, you know, 3 to 4 times of substance number one. And it was there. And we had a bit of a crowd around us, okay? You know, pretty much the whole neighborhood was here. And substance number two came out and I put some on and I stood back. And it's like, oh, there was so much of substance number one. Maybe I needed to put a little bit more of substance number two. Here I am. And just boom. Next thing I know, I'm like 2 meters back here on my bum. And I'm looking up and there's flames. I've obviously put substance number one way too close to the house. There's flames going over the eaves of our house about another meter. So I'm on my bum looking up at these flames. And I'm like, I've just burnt the house down. This is not good. Thankfully, substance number one burnt out quite quickly. But what was remaining was just like a pole. We had a pool and there was just a pole that had been, it used to be a pool scoop and it was sitting on the, you know, sitting on the gutter. It was now just a pole. So everything had, you know, the mesh and everything had disintegrated. So I obviously had to therefore fess up and, you know, mum and dad caught me out for my wrongs. And I did never do it again after getting caught out. It took me a long time to pay for that pool scoop because I didn't have a job. The reason I tell that story is that sometimes there are things that we have no idea about. Therefore, they do not provide a temptation. But as soon as we find out about them, it's like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. And I think that was a little bit the same for Adam. All right, as soon as he found out about the tree of good and evil, all right, that that fruit got eaten pretty quickly. And if we think about the Israelites as well, when they were delivered the law, so God gave rules, boundaries to Adam, gave rules and boundaries to the Israelites to give them life. But without Christ, just the rules and boundaries in themselves often actually provided a temptation or actually just highlighted how sinful they were, right? And I became a Christian at the age of 7 in the Ebenezer Chapel, all right? In the Ebenezer Chapel. 1843, I think the Ebenezer Chapel was, it wasn't 1843 when I became a Christian, but I think it was built in 1843. I went in there the other day because we had our school's commencement service in there on Thursday. And I went in there and I sat and I just remembered. And I remember being a 7-year-old sitting on the ground. And in my memory, it was Lethe. David, where are you? There he is. In my memory, it was Lethe. If it wasn't, I know I spent lots of my Sunday school years with Lethe, but I was hearing about Jesus and I thought, you know, I want some of that. I want Jesus in my life. And I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 7. But some of you will remember, I didn't become baptized until I was 38 up in the church. All right. And so why? Why 31 years of my life not being baptized? And it was because that whole notion of rules and boundaries, I never felt like I was good enough. Right? I never felt like I was a good enough Christian. All right, I didn't feel like I deserved God's grace and God's forgiveness. And no matter how hard I worked, all right, I wasn't getting there. so that's why I kept putting off baptism, because I was going to wait until I deserved it. And I got it all wrong, didn't I? Okay? Because no one deserves God's grace. That's the point, right? God's grace is freely given. And it's by nothing that we can do. We can realize that I was justified. Right, Paul talks a lot in Romans about justification. So I finally realized that I was justified in Christ. And what justification means, and I'm completely forgetting about my slides, aren't I? Yep. I better keep going. Sorry. Yeah, I will keep going. All right. What justification means is to be made right. It was a legal term, all right, to be made right. You are not guilty of that sin. And so Paul talks about when we are made right, we are given a new status. All right, we are given a new status. So we are not part of Adam humanity anymore. We are not slaves to sin, but we are part of Messiah humanity, Christ humanity, Jesus humanity. All right, we have been set free in Christ. We are in Christ. All right, our old lives have died to sin, and we have been born in Him. Okay, we are part of a new family. We are part of God's family, and we have a new future, a transformed future. Right, He's going to actually transform our lives. So how did I get to the point where I actually, at 38, realized that it wasn't about me being good enough? It was about me being made right in Christ. So it actually had a lot to do with me. So God does lots of things behind the scenes that we don't even know about. All right, so many things. But there are choices that we need to make too. And there are lots of times where we have to say yes to Him. So would it have been 8 years ago that we started coming to King's Baptist Church? There wasn't a pastor at the time. Okay, there wasn't a pastor at the time, and we thought we were coming to King's Baptist Church because Ruby was growing up, Cruz was growing up, and the church that we had been going to was there was no child's ministry. All right, Ruby and Cruz were basically the only kids during the sermon. Narina and I would sit with them and we'd sort of, you know, colour in things that might have had a Bible verse on them or whatnot. So we wanted the kids to start being fed. We wanted the kids to be in a community where they knew people, they were connected to people, and that they were hearing a lot about Jesus and, just to be with lots of like-minded kids and families. So that's why I thought we were going, all right? It was for the kids. Pretty early on, there was this new idea at the church about a men's group, right? A men's group at our church. And that is something I would have never done. No way, all right? The men that I hung out with were the men at the soccer club, and we were well and truly part of the world, all right? Talked about not getting sucked into the culture of the world. We were well and truly part of the world, and I found it really hard to be set apart, all right? I was a part of that kind of culture, found it hard to be set apart, and that was all part of that not being good enough, not feeling like I was living a life that bore Jesus' image. But for some reason, I decided that I would give this men's group a crack, all right? Would give it a go. And after about a year, men aren't very good at being vulnerable, are they? All right, they're not very good at talking about where they're at, how they're going. it was we created that kind of culture in that group where we could be open, where we could trust each other, where we could get some advice. And after about a year, and I probably hadn't even told any of my mates that I'd been going to this men's group because they would have paid me out and called me all sorts of names for going to a men's group. Well, what do you do there? You talk about your feelings? What? So after about a year, we did a couple of weeks on the Spirit. And the Spirit to me had always been, so the Holy Spirit had always been the part of the Trinity that I had kept at arm's length or maybe a little bit further than arm's length. So I felt like I knew Jesus, my Savior. I felt like I knew God, my Father, but the Holy Spirit I kept at arm's length. And the reason that I did that was because it seemed to me when people really had the Spirit living inside their lives, they didn't have much control of their lives. And I wanted control. I wanted the steering wheel. All right? I wanted to know where I was going. I wanted to get there. I. Adam, humanity, being part of the culture of this world, being a slave to sin. It was about me, and I wanted to be in control. So after a couple of weeks, I spoke to the guys about the fact that I didn't really know the Holy Spirit, and I was a bit scared of the Holy Spirit. Seen people, like, you know, put their hands up in church and stuff and, you know, do crazy things when the Holy Spirit gets involved. And I was speaking to them about it, and I said, I want you guys to pray for me, and I actually want the Holy Spirit in my life. I actually want to give control over to Him. I want to give control over to God, and I think by having the Holy Spirit in my life, that's the way to do it. And they were like keen as. And so I got down on my hands and knees, and I, in my mind, you know how I sort of like bit of that attention seeker kind of thing you've kind of got with the music? I was going to be speaking in tongues like within the next 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and, you know, glorify me again, I think, a little bit. I got down on my hands and knees, and guys laid their hands on me and prayed for the Spirit to really manifest in me, all right, for me to really be filled up with the Spirit. And some of the guys spoke in tongues over me, some beautiful prayers. And I was like, afterwards I got up and, you know, the men's group finished for the night, and I walked out to my car and I was like, oh, you idiot. You idiot, what have you done? Like, how embarrassing. You just got on your hands and knees in front of a bunch of blokes. You got them to pray for you. Nothing is different. Nothing has changed. Like, oh, geez. Not telling anyone about this, all right? I couldn't believe I'd done it. And then about 2 weeks later, I was sitting, I reckon, exactly where Jason McKevin was sitting, all right? We were at a 6-7 God Stuff Chapel, brilliant leadership by Mark Ewens, and there was a song on, and it was the song where it talks about how great is our God, and it's the song where it goes, you know, Father, Spirit, Son, all right, it was that part of the song, and I was actually sitting down. I think everyone was standing up, and I think I was sitting down because I think I was feeling a bit low. And I can't even remember what was making me feel low at the time, but I was feeling a bit low. And remember how I said I've always kept the spirit at an arm's length because of I wanted to be in control, all right? I'd never been able to engage in worship because I'd been told that I couldn't sing. I was sitting exactly like Jace was. I was leaning forward a little bit, all right? And I did something really, really simple. I did that with my hands. Just did that. They were on my lap, and I did that. And the Holy Spirit just flew through me like water. And other water started coming down too. I just started crying. But tears of absolute joy. Absolute joy because I just actually felt what it was like to be filled with the Spirit and just know completely, 100% that I am a child of God. And that, yeah, I'm not good enough, but it doesn't matter because I'm made right in Him, and it's through faith alone that I am made right and His grace. I finally got it. And I finally got it because I had let go of the steering wheel and I'd given it over to God. Anyone who's watched me from afar over the last 4 years would have seen how much I just love worship now. I just love worship because it's continually a way that I can be filled with the Spirit and just reminded about how much He loves me and that He has plans and purposes for me, all right, for His good. And He just speaks to me during that time through worship, and I'm often just feeling so thankful, so grateful, and so much joy. The first clip that we saw I'll actually just show you this first. So in Romans 3:21-24, it talks about justification. It talks about righteousness. So, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness, this being made right, is given through faith. It's not through works. It's through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. All right? And we are justified. We are made right freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So finally at 38, I got it. I understood. And so that enabled, right, with thinking of the word transformation. So in Romans 1 to 2 that we 12 1 to 2 we heard about transformed lives. All right? So transformation, it comes from the word metamorphosis, all right, which apparently comes from the Greek word metamorpho, something like that. I'm sure I've said it wrong. Some of the meanings there is that going from immature to mature, all right? But when we think of like animals, the insect world, you know, we're looking at caterpillars to butterflies, we're looking at tadpoles to frogs, all right? So that real change, that quite radical, extreme change. And when you look at transformation, if you look it up in the dictionary, it talks about a radical or extreme change. Now, if we think about how we've talked about Adam humanity being part of this world, part of the culture of this world, all right, being a slave to sin, and Christ humanity being made right in Christ, All right, being called to bear his image and not live for I, but to live for him. That's a pretty radical, extreme change, isn't it? This is from the NIV, I believe, that Rochelle read out before. And I'm going to read to you from the Message as well, because I love the Message version. But therefore I urge you, all right, therefore, and Paul's saying this, therefore, meaning, well, what's it there for? What's come before this, all right? And it's all about being made right in Christ and all about God's grace and all about purposes and plans that he has for us. All right. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we are living for him, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. All right. Don't be part of this Adam humanity, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We will know what he is calling us into if we are able to let him transform us. I'm just going to read it from the Message because I love the way that it's put in the Message, and especially for younger people, it's just so easy to understand. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. And it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that helps us to do this. But take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So remember how I told you all my roles before? I'm a director, I'm a teacher, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend. All right? So in all of those things, I need to place those roles before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best you can do for him. Don't become so, I love this part, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. We, at school this year, last year we kept talking about don't get sucked into the culture of this world. All right? There's so much about this culture of the world that is not the way God intends it. All right? We, by living transformed lives, can show people that there is another way. That we don't just need to be apart, but we can be set apart. All right? Saint means set apart. We are saints. As Christians, we are saints. All right? We can show that there's another way. We can be, if we allow ourselves to be transformed, to bear his image, we are Jesus to others. Their first glimpse of Jesus might be through us. So fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Remember transformation, metamorphosis, going from immature to mature. It took me till I was 38, but I started to go into that mature, transformed life. Now, the Adam humanity is always wanting to suck me back. Okay? All right? So, about maintaining, continuing to walk in that Christ humanity. For me, remember when I lifted, when I turned my hands, all right, it was about connecting with the Spirit and giving the Spirit control. All right, I have to, all right, daily spend time with God, all right, in spiritual practices. Now, that's something that I've really worked really hard on in 2018. I went to a 12-day course an amazing part of it, and the course was about being more like Jesus, being led by Jesus, and leading people to Jesus. Now, that's three pretty cool things, isn't it? Be more like Jesus, lead more like Jesus, and lead more to Jesus. All right. And something that I took away that's been really transformative, which has enabled me to continually be transformed in my mind, in my heart, all right, by the Spirit, is spiritual practices. Okay. So just some things that have been working really well for me is setting the alarm that 15 minutes earlier and doing my daily devotion. All right. So spending time in the Word, all right, and having that Word be put into context. All right, for what it means in everyday life has been really helpful. Something else that's been really helpful is you've been hearing me say how much I love music. Well, Triple J has actually been put on the back burner in 2018. So today when I listen to the Hottest 100, there's going to be lots of songs that I don't know. That's never happened before. All right, but I've been listening to heaps of worship music. All right, I train in the morning at the gym listening to worship music now. I'd gone into the gym before and someone had worship music on and I was like, what are you doing? You can't train to this. All right. And I'd be like, put the J's on. And I train to worship music and I do it with someone else. And you know what we do at the end? We tell each other things that we would like prayer for and we pray for each other before we start our day. All right. So I've got a bit of a prayer partner, accountability partner. All right. On my way to school, In praying, all right, because I want to bear Jesus' image, I ask him to be my eyes today. Let me see things that he needs me to see and see things his way. Be his ears to hear things, you know, again, in his view, the way that he wants me to hear things, all right, and then to be his mouth, to be a prophet, to be able to speak his words to other people. All right, so that's, and I pray for that to happen. I pray for opportunities to bear his image. And I pray for the strength and the courage to take those opportunities on. Because it's one thing to see the opportunity, to hear it, all right, and it's another thing to take it on. It's really easy to make excuses why you don't take those opportunities on, all right. I spend time at the end of the day in gratitude, actually thanking God for the ways in which I've seen him at work and the opportunities that he has given me. All right, so end in blessings. And something that I've been doing, and it's not on a daily basis, all right, but it's more sort of, you know, like a fortnightly basis, is actually try to spend time in solitude. All right. And that was so, so hard to start with because it was really, I'm not that great at being by myself. I got married at 22, so I haven't really been used to being by myself. But spend time by myself where I'm not doing the praying and the talking, I'm doing the listening. And it's been amazing. It took me a while to get into it, but it's now like I'm having just a conversation with God where he's doing heaps of the talking, I'm doing the listening, and I'm sort of throwing something back every now and then. And again, it's just that sense of being so loved, having that he has plans and purposes for me, all right? And it's not for me, it's for him. It's for his kingdom, it's for his glory. So that's a little bit about how I'm trying to open up that space where God can really transform me. And it's a really exciting journey. It's not the hardest part of it is that I and the Adam humanity wants to keep creeping in, all right? And so what I need to do is keep making that space and that time to connect in with the Spirit, all right? Some of my best solitude times have actually been in the car, all right, with the radio off and, okay, Lord, I've got an hour of driving here. What have you got for me, all right? I love God's creation too. So just sitting and being in God's creation and having those conversations. There's so many other spiritual practices, but there's some ones that have really been helping me. So wanting to live a life that's Spirit-led so I can be transformed. Now, just on closing, I want you to have a conversation with the person next to you about what you see here. You can have very surface level conversation. You can go a little bit deeper. It's not a trick question. What do you see here? Is anyone feeling brave? Would anyone like to share what they think they might see or what they think they're seeing or something, an element of what they're seeing? It is definitely a community space, Pa. Well done. So that is a view from the gym steps overlooking the oval and part of King's Baptist Grammar School. All right, so a lot of people do definitely come and do life in that space. What else can you see? Who said the moon? Tell us about, well, why do you think that's the moon? Looks like the moon? Yeah. Did anyone think that that was something different? The sun. So some people are seeing the sun and a sunset. Some people are seeing a moon. Interesting. Have a think about what do you think? Do you think sun? Yes, Mr. Sags. Oh, Detective Sags. I like it. So you were looking at that and you were like, this is the sun, but you have noticed that that's the groundsman's shed there on the sort of the left, and the door is open, and yes, they're not going to be, if that's 7 o'clock at night, the groundsman shouldn't be there. So maybe it is the moon. It is the moon. And the reason I took that at quarter past six one morning, and I've actually taken two of these photos. I'll tell you about the second one in a minute. But quarter past six, it's actually the moon setting, but it does look like the sun, and that's what I love about this photo. Now, I often think of, like in the Bible, it often talks about God being light. And if you think about God being the sun, and if we are called to live transformed lives that bear Jesus' image, we are called to be like the sun to others, right? And here, the moon is bearing the image of the sun. It's reflecting the sun's light. And why I think this ties up with spiritual practices and a transformed life is that if, we've all seen the moon look very, 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 very different to this. Sometimes we don't see the moon at all, right? If we can position ourselves in a certain way to God by our spiritual practices where we're being spiritually led, then we can actually reflect God's light, God's love to those who see us. We can be Jesus to others. We can do what Paul is asking us to do, what he's urging us, beseeching us to do in Romans 12. So how do we position ourselves so that we can bear his image? The other photo, it was a lot darker. And for me, it was like the culture of this world that we don't want to get sucked into, so much dark about it. And we have to be the light. All right? Because if we're not the light, then how do people know that there is an alternative? So our takeaways from today. Hopefully I didn't just tell a couple of stories. All right? Hopefully there was a purpose to those stories. So we are born to sin. But, there's a massive but, and it actually starts, Romans 3:21 starts, is it through works? No, 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 because none of us would get there. We are made right through faith and faith alone because of the grace of Jesus. So that's takeaway number one. I want you to leave here knowing that, yeah, we're all sinners, but we're made right. We are told that we are not guilty through Jesus, having faith in Jesus. And that we can actually be transformed. We can let the Holy Spirit transform us, all right, so that we're actually the image. And that's what we're being called to do, that we can actually be the image of Jesus. All right, we've got to give the Spirit the space and the time to do his work. We need to be that open space, that open vessel, to be filled up with his Spirit so it flows out. And let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your gift of us being made right, of us being justified, of us being in relationship in Christ through Jesus' sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have the strength and the courage to not get sucked in to the culture of this world. Let us open up our lives to you. Spirit, do your work in us. Fill us up so that we may bear your image. We may be light in the darkness. We can show people that there's another way. We can be set apart. We can grow your kingdom right here on earth. We can be part of the age to come in the present. We're not just justified in the future, Lord. We don't just have the promise of eternal life and salvation. We are justified right now. Help us to live in a way where we truly believe that and we truly show that to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.